Well, well, well. I'm just going to say, let's go, Brandon. It's the news according to me. Yeah. Well, there's a few things in the headlines today. I just got to get a few things off my chest. It's Monday morning at Eastern time. It's 10:27 on October 11th, Monday morning. I am in Atlanta, Georgia, where it's still pretty warm here. Fall has not started to creep in yet, where like it has at home. Back home, it's getting a little bit, brisk, I guess would be the word. Is it a word? It's just nice, though. It gets a little cool in the evenings. It's been a fairly warm September, however, September, October. And, of course, that's all because of global warming, you know, because this week it's global warming. And next week it'll be global cooling, climate change, blah, 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 all that stuff. I say blah, blah, blah to you as well. So this morning, I bid you a blah, blah, blah. And more importantly, I don't have a cup today. I have a thermos. And in my thermos, I have some sweet tea, homemade sweet tea, with a splash, probably a little more than a tablespoon, maybe a tablespoon, of a peach tea. It's a Lipton peach tea. And then I have, maybe a cup, not even a cup, half a cup of V8 Fusion. I think it's peach mango, something, I don't know. It's refreshing. It's just that nice, delicate balance of blends that I like to slam down my throat. So this morning, now that you're all filled in, there's just all kinds of things in the news today. And it's Southwest, you know, is canceling flights like crazy. And their cancellations, they were blaming on an ATC sick out or walkout or sick out, whatever it was called, whatever they were calling it, choosing to call it. And apparently, there's more going on than we're being told. I don't know exactly what all is going on, but it's not just ATC. There's no other airlines that are canceling as many flights as Southwest is right now. What these airlines don't seem to really understand, and you'd think they'd understand it because they've been doing this for about 50, you know, some years, 60 years, 70 years, whatever. The balance, you know, one of the things that fascinates me, I was an airline pilot once, and the thing that always fascinated me was all the things that come together. Now, pilots have a tendency to get this ego thing going on, and they start to think that they, without them, the entire world would collapse because no one would be flying the airplane. Well, okay, so you are pretty much at the controls of managing this machine. That's true. Without the pilots, the airline doesn't do anything. However, what the pilots fail to realize many times, and it's just out of their preview or whatever purview, whatever they call that. It's just not in their thinking. They think the world revolves around them. So what they don't really understand or realize sometimes is that, and that many people are this way in their job. They think, if I leave this place, the whole thing's going down. That's kind of, you know, if I leave, when I leave, the whole place is going to go, you know, I keep this whole ship together. You know, there might be 3,000 people that work there, but by golly, if you left, the whole place is going to collapse. So what pilots fail to really understand many times, and this is what is predominantly in the aviation industry, is that there is a whole lot of people who get that airplane off the ground. When I was flying, if you own your own airplane, you have a better idea. And at one time I had a flight school and I owned 8 airplanes. I had my own mechanic working for me. And I had several flight instructors, and I had 2 different operations on 2 different fields. And you start to realize very quickly all the things that have to come together just to make a flight happen. Now, you've got FAA regulations, you've got maintenance issues, you've got the people, all the issues that each of the people have. In other words, they have to be certified, they all have to be on time, there, doing their thing, flight plans filed, all the other things that have to come together. Weather information, all the data that you have to have put together. Now, think about that on a grander scale when you have maybe 100 airplanes. And not only do you have an airplane that has to run on a particular schedule, you've got all these airplanes that have to run on a schedule. All of them have maintenance issues, all at different times. You have people who are trying to get from point A to point B, and all the people on the airplane may not be going to the same place. They may be going to one, obviously they are while they're in the airplane, hopefully. You're not just going to toss them out randomly on your way there, even though that would be a nice option sometimes. This whole thing has to come together not only with the people and the airplanes and the crew, of which there are multiple people, with issues of duty times and all the other things that go along with that, travel schedules. You have baggage that has to be moved. And sometimes there's other cargo that needs to be shipped along with the baggage that you have just for your passengers. And then also along with that, there's the maintenance for every airplane, the selling of tickets, the operational issues of the airport itself with all the ground equipment, the maintenance to that ground equipment, the people who park the plane, move the plane, unload the bags, collect the tickets at the gate, whatever, the gate agents, we call them. Just all of those things have to come together. And typically, at your smaller airports, sometimes one person might be wearing three or four different hats. You might find them at the ticket counter when you get there outside of security. By the time you go to security, they're also there collecting tickets. The next thing you know, they're also out there directing the airplane in and out, or they might be tossing bags. Especially nowadays, there's a lack of help in many of these places. They try to run things as slim as they can, because obviously they don't want to have a glut of people, because once the plane comes in and goes out, well then that, now you're sitting around not doing as much. And there's work to be done, but it's not, the next flight might not come in for a couple hours. It's at the outstations. At the main hubs, of course, it's busy all the time, hopping like crazy. But they still don't have a plethora of extra people. It just wouldn't be efficient. If you lose 10% of your workforce, now granted, pilots, supposedly the pilots at United, they're 90% vaccinated already, maybe more than that. Now, they're also paying them like 10 hours of pay for getting vaccinated. You have to bribe them into doing it. And you have the onset of, all these young kids who are doing this. They're doing it because they have a million, it's basically a millionaire's club for the pilots. They will make millions of dollars over the course of their career. By the time they get, if you're in your 20s, late 20s, with United Airlines, for example, by the time you get, into your 40s, or close to 50, you are probably looking at at least multiple six-figure income as far as, in a $300,000 range. You do that for a few years, you've got, $1 million saved up. Well, after taxes, you got, $10 left. But whatever, it's enough to buy a cup of coffee. Let's put it that way. It's a very lucrative career, and people aren't willing to just walk away from it because you may not get back in. So it's one of those very weird things where they're holding this over people's heads saying, yeah, you have to get vaccinated or you're going to lose your job. There's a lot of young kids out there who just don't know any better. And they just, okay, I've got to do this because they have their career ahead of them. They're scared of losing that opportunity, that job. You know, basically, you've got one shot at it. There's, I mean, there's people, plenty of people saying, you know, without jobs out there that will attest to that. But they screwed up an interview or they screwed up something along the way, and that was it for them. So it's interesting to see what's going on. Now, Southwest has always had kind of a renegade mentality when it comes to aviation and their crews and their employees. And I think that these delays and these cancellations are more due to the fact that they have people walking out, basically. They're pushing back. I don't know what the percentage of people are, the numbers of people are. I don't know whether it's 10% of them, 5% of them. All I know is it doesn't take very many. It only takes a real small committed few to really bring an industry like this to a halt. Because if you have just ground people, ground personnel, you're not going anywhere. If you just have the dispatchers walk off, you know, for every dispatcher probably works a certain number of airplanes. You know, say it's every dispatcher works maybe 10 airplanes or 5 airplanes or whatever it is. If you get, you know, you get 3 or 4 of those dispatchers that call in sick for a week, well, you probably don't, you know, in a smaller operation, you get 10% of your dispatchers walking off, you're gonna have problems. They have duty times and limits. They can only work so many hours as well. So it's interesting to see this unfolding the way it is with the mandates. And I'm glad to see it, actually. I'm glad to see some people pushing back. And there's a lot of people in the industry right now that are feeling that way as well. They're basically saying, yeah, it's good. There's also people pushing back in the military. Here's the reason. And this is, I wasn't really going to go here. I had a lot of other things in my notes I was going to talk about. And one of the things that is in my notes that I was going to mention is you have, first of all, you've got got the mandates themselves and how that's all unfolding. You've got people out in California, just the hysteria behind this whole thing is kind of ridiculous. I think it was out in California, there's a police union, I believe it is, pushing back against the whole mandated vaccine thing. They are even pushing, this is where the hysteria, this is where it's crossing a line and making me say, what is going on here? Apparently New South Wales, there's places that are opening up now, I think in Australia and other places, because of, they're saying, well, we got 90% vaccination rate, where we got 95% vaccination rate, so we're going to start opening up now. I think there's one place that has actually 98% of the people have at least one jab. Some of those provinces, I think, in Australia or possibly New Zealand. I'm not sure. I think they finally come to the realization that they're not going to get zero cases forever. That's just not. About the time you say, well, I didn't have any cases reported yesterday. Well, good luck with that for about a month, and then after that, what are you going to do? I mean, it's in the world, folks. It's out there, and you're not. It's got animal reservoirs. You're not going to get rid of it completely, and it could be, you know, you turn around, the next thing you know, 100 people have it. So, the issue here is more of one of this hysteria, and the more hysterical people get about it, the less inclined I am to go with this thing, because I don't want to be involved in what's caught up in all of the craziness, that somehow being unvaccinated, even if you've had COVID, this is what the police union basically wants to have an exemption for those individuals on the force who've had COVID and have natural immunity. The argument from the city officials is that natural immunity isn't science. That's actually what they're saying. That's not science. In other words, if man didn't do it, it's not science. Now, I want to get into this I wasn't planning on going here, and I do want to talk about this because I know I've said something about it before, but I never really got into the depth of it. So I want to talk about that a little bit, and hopefully I got time to do this. This may be a little bit longer show than normal while I'm on the road. Normally I try to keep my road shows to about 30 minutes, and this is probably going to go over that. So here's where we have the problem. Dr. Robert Malone, who wrote the thesis on mRNA vaccines. Now, he didn't invent this particular mRNA vaccine. He wasn't the one that picked up, that continued the ball, carrying the ball. He wrote the foreword, basically, on the whole mRNA vaccine. He understands what mRNA vaccines are. He made a little statement. This little statement that he made at one point when he was being interviewed, it was about an hour-long interview that I watched. And, of course, I watch stuff at 1.25 times the speed just because that way I don't spend an hour listening to something. I only spent 45 minutes listening to a one-hour-long thing. But here was the statement that he made that made me start to look into this a little bit more. And after hearing what he said, I think I'm understanding, finally, what he was trying to get at, what he's trying to warn us about. Now, he's been basically canceled from society. You can't post anything from him on social media very much at all, or else you get, it just gets, his name flags as a bad deal. Not science. He's not an expert. This guy's not an expert. Now, he was talking about his concern for what they're doing with the... my understanding is he is vaccinated. I'm not sure if he is or not. I don't know. People in comments have said, he's vaccinated. Well, I haven't found evidence of that. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. I think he probably is. He's probably on record somewhere saying that he got vaccinated. I had this argument with a... Well, it wasn't an argument. It was a discussion with a fellow the other day at breakfast. Poor kid felt like he was surrounded by, because we were all talking about this whole thing and there was a lot of negative attitudes towards the vaccine. And I was giving some information. Of course, I've been steeped in this thing for the last year. And he was unfortunately, I mentioned that this is a vaccine. I said, this vaccine does not keep you from getting COVID and it doesn't keep you from spreading COVID. So it's not really a vaccine. Now, this, bear with me, because this goes along with what Dr. Malone was saying, and I think this is why he was concerned, and this is where I'm putting two and two together here. And I'm not a doctor, and I'm not giving medical advice. I am completely speculating based on the information that I've received, and I'm drawing conclusions and conjecture here. So I want to put this disclaimer in here. I'm not saying that I know the answer to this. This is where I'm suspecting things are going with this. Now, this young fellow, unfortunately, he was actually shaking when he was trying to talk to us, when he was trying to share his point. And I did everything I could to put him at ease. I wanted him to be able to speak his mind and be able to say what he wanted to do. And so I kind of reassured him that, his opinion's valid and I may have a different opinion. I may have some other information, but I wanted to hear his side of it. Now, that seemed to help him to settle down a little bit. He said something about the vaccine is 99% effective. I said, what exactly? What's the matrix here? What's our reference point to say that it's 99% effective against what? I said, there's obviously been a very large number of breakthrough cases. He said, I was mentioning was, why are they pushing so hard to vaccinate kids down to 5 years old? In fact, they want to have a dose for kids that are 6 months old. Why is there such a push for this? What is the reason for this when we have a 0.1% hospitalization rate among COVID patients under the age of 18. That's not under kids under 18. That's under COVID patients under the age of 18. Diagnosed cases, 0.1% end up hospitalized. And the number that have passed away are not that there's no life that's insignificant, but there's the numbers are ridiculously lower than anything we've ever seen before in terms of a flu epidemic. Every year, the flu would kill, which apparently didn't happen last year. The flu normally, unfortunately, takes more children every year than this than COVID ever has. So, I mean, in the total time COVID has been out there, we would, you know, I think in 2018, we lost more children under the age of 18 to the flu, the common seasonal flu, than we did, than we have to COVID since it started. The flu, the general yearly flu would normally be, it was a problem for both kids as well as older people. This is exceptionally bad for older folks with COVID and immunocompromised people. Now, here was Dr. Malone's issue. And of course, now Pfizer has even come out and said that, well, the vaccine wanes in efficacy greatly over the course of just a couple of, you know, just after like a few months, I guess 4 months, it goes down. I'm not sure if it goes down to 20% efficacy or if it loses 27% or whatever it loses every 4 months. They're still trying to figure that out. And of course, this is because we don't have any long-term, there's no long-term studies on this thing. You just can't rush time. And, you know, how it's going to affect people over the course of 2 to 4 years, 5 years, 10 years even. You see all these ads for lawyers. Do we cheat them and how? We'll sue for, you know, if you ever touched anything with any kind of a chemical for killing plants. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, all of a sudden people are breaking out with certain kinds of cancer or Parkinson's or whatever it is. And now they'll sue, they'll get you money. So if you had the vaccine 20, 30 years ago, it's, you know, they're going to sue Pfizer, which, you know, of course, by then they're going to have immunity anyway, but they're going to, you know, there are people who have immunity. It's called the Pfizer people who are, you know, they have immunity from lawsuits, basically. So, we have this, it's just an interesting scenario here with Dr. Malone. He's concerned that, you know, originally the whole idea of the mRNA vaccine was that there would be a synthetic vaccine that would act like the real vaccine, that they would actually be able to engineer the DNA of the vaccine itself. Or the virus, however you want to say it, but the vaccine actually be able to basically create a synthetic vaccine. This vaccine then would work to there's something called spike proteins, and this is what the body reacts to. In terms of this is the way I'm understanding it, and the body will create antibodies to combat the spike protein, which will kill the virus. So that's how your body develops this immunity. The issue that the problem that we're having is that Dr. Malone believes that they're not using the spike protein, the typical standard method of getting the body to develop antibodies or immunity to the virus. They are using something called cytotoxicity. The way I'm understanding this is that the vaccine is creating a petri dish type thing in your body. So your body develops this toxicity that makes it a toxic, and your body becomes a toxic environment for the virus. Your body doesn't ever develop antibodies because of this, or very little. So the toxicity in your body is what's killing the virus when it gets in there, which makes sense because it's only the only thing that it's really doing is reducing symptoms. At least so far, that's what it's doing. So because the virus can't really operate the way it normally would, it's not spreading through your body. Therefore, it dies off before it gets to the point where, and then it's this toxicity in your body that's causing that. Now, this toxicity, the cytotoxicity, only lasts for a few months because your body doesn't recreate the toxicity. Your body actually absorbs and fights off this toxic situation, which is why the vaccine is waning after 4 to 6 months. Its efficacy goes down dramatically, apparently. That's why they have to have boosters. So the question is, and this is where I think he was alluding to, maybe putting words in his mouth. This may actually create a situation where people become vaccine dependent. That without the vaccine, without the booster, your natural immunity will begin to break down. Actually, this will break down your natural immunity because you're not developing natural immunity to it. So if you stop taking the vaccine, it actually reduces your body's ability to create natural immunity. We are exacerbating the problem. In other words, is what's happening here. And we're still blaming it on the unvaxxed. For example, Dr. Fauci now, my favorite guy in the world, he's now come out and said that the vaccinated people need to wear masks outside. Now, I'm going to look at this article because I really want to see. I think that maybe he's been misunderstood or misquoted or something's going on here, but he's warning vaccinated people. Of course, all the ads have to pop up. To wear masks outside this winter, even though COVID deaths are decreasing, down at same fast rates as hospitalizations. Now, this is the way this thing has always worked. The virus has always kind of burned through, and then what's the word? It seems to go up like crazy, and then it just drops off exponentially over the course of just a few minutes. Relatively short period of time. So when these outbreaks happen, they tend to go away relatively soon. So he's, of course, Fauci said strongly suspects that you're going to start seeing the deaths go down similar to hospitalizations. He also said in an interview with Greta Van Susteren that even vaccinated people wear masks outside. He said other factors that will impact the future death toll are colder weather, people doing more things indoors, and abiding by CDC guidelines. I don't know if it means if you abide by CDC guidelines, you're going to have more problems or whatever's going on there. Fauci also noted that there has been a turnaround in the slope in the prevalence of cases and hospitalizations over the last few weeks. On Thursday, the U.S. reported 110,060 new infections with a seven-day rolling average of 112,792, 32% decline in the average four weeks ago. But on Friday, the U.S. hit a grim milestone and surpassed 700,000 COVID deaths, far more now. More people lost this year than we lost the entire 2020. We didn't have a vaccine, and that was all Bush. That was all Trump's fault. And Biden said he was going to decimate this virus. That's not happened. He's decimating us, and this whole vaccine mandate thing is not. That's not a part of it. It's just a whole lot of hysteria, folks. This is really getting, in my opinion, just out of control. So that is where I end up kind of drawing the conclusion that this isn't about science at all. This idea that you've got to be vaccinated, I think, stems from the idea that the vaccine actually worked. We had these expectations for a vaccine that would actually do something. All it's doing is reducing symptoms. A good therapeutic would do that. So if you get vaccinated, you're not necessarily protecting others, because you can still spread it. You can still get it. If you're unvaccinated, the only person that's really going to suffer for this is you. You might have worse symptoms. However, it's also possible that vaccinated individuals may suffer issues later on. If what Dr. Malone is suspecting is true, his conclusion was that this is a very dangerous slope that we're going down. It's uncharted waters. We don't know what this cytotoxicity and the way the body reacts to that and what the long-term effects of that are going to be. So I'll just go through some of the headlines on vaccinations. Let's see what's going on here. Of course, the British Air to stop referring to passengers as ladies and gentlemen. Because, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. Harris mocked for a ridiculous kids science video. If any of you have seen this, it is absolutely creepy. And it led me to the question of, does Carmella have any kids of her own? I've not heard anything about her kids, whether she has kids. Apparently she doesn't have kids. And when she was talking to these kids, it was like she's never talked to kids before. You're actually going to see craters on the moon with your own eyes. So I guess the whole class is going to the moon, I guess. Because, you know, that's something to do. I guess it's a field trip. I'm going to take a field trip to the moon. Yeah, I don't know why. I have no desire to go to the moon, folks. I just don't. It's not, there's not a whole lot there. So I just really don't want to go there. But she was just Google goggly-eyed over this whole thing, like as if it was the best thing in the world, and was telling these kids it's going to be just an amazing, fascinating thing. Apparently Canada has turned into a prison camp. This is according to the news, Reliable News Now. It says Canada has turned into a prison camp for the unvaxxed. Trudeau is banning work and travel for anybody who's unvaxxed. Biden's job growth numbers, for those of you who hadn't heard, are abysmal. The growth is less than half what was expected. In fact, the female work sector lost like 28,000 jobs. This is going to get worse, folks. The New York Times issued a host of embarrassing corrections as it gets COVID facts wrong. I think at one point they said there was like 680,000 some deaths or 680,000 cases among youth, and I think there was only 63,000 or something like that. It wasn't even a decimal point issue or something. It was just like way off. Like totally different numbers. Marine Corps sets date for special court hearing for the Lieutenant Colonel Scheller, which is ironic. This is a man who supposedly breached. I mean, if you talked about a man who breached military protocol, insubordination, went around the back of his superiors and talked to people, complained, took control of some things, whatever we're going to talk about. You could just as easily be talking about General Milley as this guy. And Milley got off the hook because he was saving the country. He was just in his cause. And yet he subverted the commander-in-chief. Apparently, there's a man tackled at an airport after a passenger thinks his vintage camera is a bomb. There's a passenger kicked off a flight for having approved medical device. Australian Chancellor resigns, joins growing list of corrupt EU officials. Southwest cancels over 1,000 flights this weekend. I think it was like 1,800 flights, actually Saturday and Sunday, since Friday, I guess. and it's another 300 and some today so far. And the explanation makes no sense. And that's where the thing that people are finally starting to put the things together here, that this isn't just an ATC thing. Southwest Air pilots seek to block forced vaccination order. That's what it's about right there. Younger Israelis are rejecting government mandated boosters. So apparently their young people there are kind of stepping out with that, which is expected because they are educated and enough to know that there's no reason for this whole thing. What gets me is that they were very quick to get down to, we've got to get the childbearing age kids vaccinated. That's what's the creepy part about this whole thing. United Pilots, this is, and again, this gets back to what I was talking about earlier. United Air's Pilots Union warns of staffing shortages during busy holidays unless vax exemptions are granted. In other words, they're not going to have staff. They're expecting one of the busiest seasons ever in the history of United for this season in terms of domestic travel. Not international travel, but domestic travel within the U.S. It's going to be very busy. And in my opinion, this whole thing is, they're not going to have enough staff for it. And of course, with the vaccine mandates, it's going to be harder to find people. You just, shallowed your pool even further. Washington State ferry system in danger of collapse due to jab mandate. Yep. Let's see what we got here. We got Family Sue store for giving kids the wrong vaccine, giving COVID not flu shots when they wanted. See, this is creepy too. This family goes in to get flu shots for their kids because now we're being told we're going to have a double pandemic with the flu and COVID. Last year, I guess Ohio never reported it. They reported zero cases of the flu last year in Ohio, which is just absolutely insane. Which means, and all these people who are dying, the average number of people who die every day is fairly high, and it's in the thousands. And yet, if 2,000 people die in a day and they got COVID, well, they all died of COVID. Maybe they died with COVID. That's the whole thing. They won't distinguish between those two things. They died, just happened to die, but they also had COVID when they died. So, well, then it's a COVID death. Anti-vaccine passport demonstrations break out. And now my page refreshes and all my advertisements come back up again, which is really handy. It's really nice. Yep. There it is. Anti-vaccine passport demonstrations break out in Rome. What else we got here? We got Virginia redistricting. Yeah, this is interesting. This Joe Biden. And you may have heard this at the beginning of the show. Let's go, Brandon. Of course, I have to make a T-shirt now. It says, "Let's go, Brandon." Because whether or not you heard or not, there was a chant going on at this. I think it was a race car event, probably NASCAR or something. I don't know. And it was as they were chanting something about Biden. This commentator thought that they were saying, "Let's go, Brandon." And they were actually saying something about Biden. And it wasn't, "Let's go, Biden." I'm not even going to repeat what it was. But now, of course, it was very obvious what they were saying. They had to bleep the words. And, yeah. Yeah. So it, now that's the term. That's the new thing. So everybody's using that, knowing full well what it actually means. Yeah. Biden administration officials say some federal workers with valid vaccine exemptions may still be fired. Pelosi's Archbishop is calling for Christians to fast and pray for her and her conversion of heart on abortion. Used car prices are at record high as dealerships struggle to find inventory. They're having a problem with computer chips. So they can't find the computer chips to be able to. This is interesting. This whole jobs number of things. I guess CNBC had a hard time hiding their reactions to the September's dismal job numbers. They were shocked. They were absolutely shocked. And of course, Biden came out and said, "Well, the trend is still going up." No, Joe, it's not. That's the problem. The trend is going down. That's why they're all upset about it. And they know this is not looking good. It is abysmal. They don't care. Yeah, so we're getting all kinds of other headlines here. Communist China escalating cyber warfare efforts against the West due to inadequate U.S. response, say. And the whole thing of, China, I think yesterday flew over 70 airplanes over the top of Taiwan. That's the kind of thing that's going on right now with that. And, of course, they're pushing. They're basically saying that the U.S. needs to stop military support of Taiwan. This is just a matter of time. This administration is not doing anything. Well, we're watching them, just like they're watching the Taliban. Well, we're keeping an eye on them. Oh, I bet they're scared of that. Now you've got a cartel on the other side of the border firing shots across our border. And of course, we're not doing anything about it. Yeah. So there you go, folks. I'd like to say I've got a lot of happy news, a lot of really happy news to get to talk about. I really don't. I mean, there's some good things in the world. You know, there's good things on out there, but not necessarily in any specific order. We live in alarming times, and it's very tough times. I want to bring this stuff up. It's not like there isn't any hope, because there is hope. But we need to be aware of what's going on around us as well. So, again, thank you for listening. And I thank you for sharing and liking this podcast, sharing it with others, subscribing, passing it on. Once again, God is still on the throne. Prayer still changes things. So let's stay on our knees. Pray for each other. Have a great day.